It's a privilege to have him and his wife and his family in our church. And we're looking forward to listening and sitting at his feet.
To breaking the mic.
It's okay. That's all right. We got a new sound. We got a new sound system coming. And so, look at that.
Hey. Amen, preacher. I should have used my other hand, amen. Thank you. Amen. It's good singing. Good singing. Oh, it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Old familiar verse. Like that song y'all sang. When you get past feeling, I'm thankful they've still got faith. God-given faith. Boy, it's a blessing, isn't it? All right, Daniel chapter 3, if you would stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to start off in verse 19. It says, Then was Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound, into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto the counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, Lord God, we sure do love you. Lord God, we sure do thank you for the opportunity to come to your house just to worship you, Lord, to be able to dig into your word, Lord. And right now I pray that you would just use me for your honor and your glory, Lord, and lift up the heart that's heavy. Lord, we got a lot of sickness going on. I pray that you would just heal them according to your will, Lord God. We just want to say we love you. Bless the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Well, preacher, before we get started too far, I want to say thank you again for the opportunity. Amen. It's still humbling, whether here, nursing home, or wherever. Every time. It's a blessing, though. Amen. It's a blessing. Well, give you a quick overview. Everybody knows the story. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We've heard it since we was kids. Very familiar. We know that Nebuchadnezzar, he made an image of gold. There was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. If you look back, chapter 2, just a quick thought. Verse 47, it said, The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of truth it is that your God is the God of gods, and the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets. After Daniel, he told the king the dream. He told him what it meant. Nebuchadnezzar, he agreed. Well, you're God. He's the God. He's the God of the God. He's the God of the Lords. But the problem was, in verse 46, he worshipped Daniel instead of the God of Daniel. And now we see the first part of 3 chapter 1, he done built a golden idol. Well, we know the story. And he gathered all the princes, all the kings, all the governors, captains, judges, treasurers, counselors, sheriffs, all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they all came and they stood before the image. And then a herald cried aloud, To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the, we're just going to call it a band for the sake of time. When you hear the band, you're to bow down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. And who doesn't fall down, we know is going to be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. In that time, when all the people heard the sound, heard the band playing, amen, They all fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Well, if you look there in verse 8, it says, "Wherefore at that time the Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews." That kind of caught me interesting right there. The Chaldeans, well, they didn't like the Jews. Especially Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This was kind of their third strike in their eyes, so to speak. Over there in 119, it said, and the king communed with them, and among them was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers that were in his realm. Then over there in Daniel 2:49, it says, "Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king." I tell you what, if I was a Chaldean, I'd be a little jealous. I'd be a little mad at them. Here they are 10 times better than I am. And here I am. These Jews, they were brought in. Here I am. I'm a Chaldean. I've been here, but apparently I'm not good enough. And the king set Daniel ahead of them. He set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego ahead of them, in charge of them, rule of them. And so I think they got a little, what's the word I'm looking for? The word, jealousy? That's a good word. They were a little jealous. We'll just go there. The word I had in my mind was, to be honest, it wasn't appropriate. It wasn't a curse word, but it just wasn't appropriate. But anyhow, and so they spake and said, "Hey, these three didn't bow." We all know the story. They didn't bow. When the band played, they didn't bow. Well, that made King Nebuchadnezzar mad, as we know. And down in verse 12, it says, "There are certain Jews whom thou set over the affairs of the province of Babylon." I want you to see that right there. There are certain Jews that didn't bow. That tells me that some Jews did bow. That tells me that some of them did bow. I wonder why. Some of God's children bowed to an image of gold, to a false god. I wonder why. I'm going to say because of fear. They were scared to get thrown into the fiery furnace. They had fear of being different, of not fitting in, maybe fear of being made fun of. Well, let me ask you, when you hear that worldly music playing, are you going to bow down to the world, or are you going to take a stand like they did for God? That's just a quick question. Verse 23, it said, "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Verse 24, "Did not we cast three men bound?" Verse 25, we see, "Lo, I see four men," what? Loose. Loose, amen, boy. What a picture of salvation, isn't it? Amen. Whew, I think about Connor. Whew, what a blessing. To see a young man. He was bound. He was bound in the chains and the shackles of sin. Amen. Oh, but thanks be unto God. Fire couldn't loose him. The fire couldn't loose him. Man couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. But oh, thanks be unto God that he came down and he loosed him and saved him from a devil's hell. Well, I'm thankful for that picture of salvation. I'm thankful for salvation, amen. And I could go there a lot, but I'm going to try to go a little different route with this. We'll see. This is fresh off the press, so to speak. You know, in this Christian life, there's going to be some fiery furnaces, some death, family problems, church problems, financial problems. We got all kinds of problems, all kinds of fiery furnaces we're going to have to go through. And some of them are going to be painful. Some of them are going to leave scars. Some of them are going to hurt. But I tell you what, I'm thankful that we don't have to go through them fires alone. I'm thankful that Jesus is right there with us. And whatever we're going through, I'm thankful. I preach a message out of this chapter at the nursing home sometimes about a faithful God. You see, a false God, fiery furnace, fearless men, faithful Father, if y'all are interested. But I tell you what, and I love it because no matter what you're going through, Jesus is there. And I could go on and on about that, but that's not the direction we're going. But the question is, when you're in the midst of your fiery furnace, are you looking for him? When you're in the midst of your fiery furnace, are you turning toward him or are you turning toward the world? Choice is yours. Can I just say that fires aren't always bad? Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they'll isolate you. Sometimes they'll separate you so you can get closer to God. You know, the greatest curse the world sees is for a Christian to be thrown into a fiery furnace. But sometimes the greatest blessing for a Christian is to be right in the middle of that fiery furnace. You might ask, how? How is that the greatest thing? How is that a great blessing to be in the middle of a fiery furnace, to be in the middle of some hurt, to be in the middle of some pain, to be in the middle of some chaos. Well, that's how we grow. That's how we grow with the Lord. If you look back on your life and felt all those times that you were closest to God, all those times when you felt you grew as a Christian, if you look back, most of the time it was in the midst of a fiery furnace. It was in the midst of trouble, family problems, whatever it may be, but that's when you grew the most. Why do we grow in the midst of our fiery furnaces? Well, when things are going good, it's easy to get lackadaisical. It's easy to let, easy to get cold. It's easy to let that inner fire go out and just coast. I know, I've done it. It's easy. Well, there's a few things, and this is where the message is going. There's a few things in the Bible that I see about fire and what fire does. The first thing I see is over there in 1 Corinthians 3. If you turn there, 1 Corinthians 3, chapter 11 through 15. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 15. First thing I see is fire reveals. Fire reveals some things. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm thankful. Jesus Christ, He is the only foundation, amen. Yeah. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand, amen. It says in verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. You see the difference there? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide with he is built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet is by fire. Let me ask you, what kind of work are you doing for God? Is your walk with God producing gold, silver, and precious stones that will gain you reward in heaven? Or are you producing wood, hay, and stubble that will be burned up with God's revealing fire? And then one day, are you going to suffer loss? It's a question. You ought to seriously answer it in your heart. You know, one day we're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, those of us here that are saved. And what a sad day it's going to be to see all you did here on earth after you were born again be burned up by the revealing fire of God, and you're going to suffer loss. What a sad day that's going to be. Sure, you made it to heaven. Saved as yet by fire is what the verse says. But you're going to have to watch others casting crown at Jesus' feet, and here you have nothing. Boy, how's that going to feel? I know heaven's going to be glorious. I know you're going to be there. No sadness, no sickness, we know that. But there's going to be something, because you're not going to feel good when that's happening. When everybody else is casting crowns, and here you are, have nothing to offer God. What a shame. For a short time here on earth, is it worth it? But what a glorious day it'll be to stand before God. When that revealing fire comes, you still have all these treasures to offer Him, and you get all the crowns of glory to cast at Jesus' feet. So why not just do what it says there in Matthew 6, 19 through 20? Matthew 6, 19 through 20, I'll read it real quick. You don't have to turn there. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? Are you bowing to the golden image of the world when you hear the band start playing? Or are you not going to bow and you're going to take a stand like the three Jewish children did, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And are you going to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven? I hope so. I hope so. If you don't, I can tell you one day you're going to regret it. You're going to regret it. It's going to be a shame, amen. Second thing I see is over there in Malachi 3, if y'all want to turn there. Malachi 3, verses 1 through 4, I see fire refines. Not only does fire reveal, fire refines. Malachi chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. It says, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way of the Lord before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come unto his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire in a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner in a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and in former years. In verse 6, I can't come to this chapter without reading. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Amen right there. But verse 3, it says refiner. It says purifier. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, to get pure gold, it has to be refined. You can't just dig it out of the rock and it's pure. It's got impurities in it. We're the same way. We have to be refined, amen? It has to be put in the fire over and over and over again to get out all the imperfections, to get out all the impurities. And that's what God has to do with us. He has to put us in that fire over and over and over again. Because unfortunately, unlike gold, we keep getting impurities through the world. However you want to think about it, or however you get the impurities, we all get them from the world. You know, refining happens from the inside out. It's a purifying process. And like I said, the reason we have fiery furnaces is because God wants to refine us. But yet so many Christians, they don't like the refiner's fire, because if you get too close, you kind of lose your own image of yourself, don't you? That you've made. You lose your reputation. You become vulnerable. You have to start telling your flesh no. Nobody likes to do that. I heard a preacher say one time, you can't purify water by painting the spout. Well, think about that for a minute. Painting the outside doesn't do anything for the water that's on the inside, does it? It doesn't purify it. It doesn't refine it. It doesn't make it pure. It doesn't take out the impurities of that water. Well, if you think of it that way for a minute, instead of a Christian being water, or think of it, well, instead of a Christian being water that can be molded, can be moved, can be purified by the refiner's fire, unfortunately, many Christians are like ice. Yeah. Hate to say that. They've already formed themselves into how they think they ought to be. Yeah. How they think they ought to act. How they think they ought to live. They've already formed themselves like that. That's why they're so cold. That's why they're dead. You know, where there's no fire in churches anymore for the most part. You know why there's no fire in the pulpit? No fire in the special music? No fire in the Sunday school teaching? It's become just a performance. That's sad. Become just a performance. The fire's gone. Sure, they're saved. Sure, there's a lot of preachers, a lot of singers, Sunday school teachers, churches, got saved people all over it. But they're dead. They're cold. They're like ice cubes, amen? They're just frozen into their perception of what they should be instead of letting God, with His revealing, refining fire, melt them, purify them, and give them a fire that burns within their bones, like over there in Jeremiah 20, verse 9. It said, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak of him any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones." Well, I tell you what, we need that burning fire, amen? We need the word of God in our hearts like a fire burning, ready to come out in our singing, ready to come out in our preaching, ready to come out in our witnessing. If we're cold and we're dead, how are we going to reach the lost? Is that not what we're here for, is reach the lost? Is that not the Great Commission, going to all the world and preach what? The gospel. Who wants to hear the gospel if you're cold, if you're dead? I wouldn't. I wouldn't. It's not going to do any good. I tell you what, we've lost that fire that Jeremiah had. We've become like ice that just goes through the motions. I tell you what, it's time we let the purifying process of the refiner's fire start working in our hearts and in our lives. Over there in Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Well, I tell you what, the light from the word of God is an illuminating fire. It'll show you your spiritual condition. It'll show you how to live right. It'll show you how to act right. It'll show you how to dress right. It'll show you how to spit wise, as the pastor likes to say. Let me ask you, how many of you have ever actually used a lamp? I'm not talking about a lantern that has a little socks you put on there that gets pretty bright. I'm talking about like an old oil lamp. How many of y'all use one of those? Well, it only shines for just a little ways. You can't see far with it. It's not like the 10,000 lumen flashlights we got now that are about this big, you know, that you can see for a mile with. Only thing you can see is just a little in front of you. You can see your next step. That's about it. Once you get to that step, all you can see is your next step. Yeah. It's a slow go, one at a time. That's all it'll illuminate. But I tell you what, you know how you get closer to God? One step at a time. One step at a time. It's not a big jump. It's a slow process. But one step at a time. But you just have to keep taking that step. Let me ask you, are you taking that next step to a closer walk with God? Are you letting God's word guide you as a lamp in this dark and sinful world? You need it. We need God's word. We need to hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him, so we can take that next step. Amen. Not only does fire reveal, not only does fire refine, I see lastly that fire revives. I don't know about y'all, but I'd love to see revival happen again. I'm talking about revival. Just break out. I'm not talking about a fleshly fire that will go out in a short time. We can get that. We can all get that. I'm talking about a Holy Ghost-filled, Holy Ghost-fire revival upon the lives of Christians. What a difference we could make. Think about it. What a difference you could make at work if you was on fire for God, if you had revival in your heart. What a difference. I spent a lot of years wasted. I'm being honest. A lot of years. Nobody's fault but my own. For what? For what? You know how many souls I come into contact with? Too ashamed to say anything? Cold? Didn't really care, just going through the motions, because that's what Christians do. Sure, I was saved, yet it's by fire. Wasted. Wasted. Boy. Lord, help me. You know, churches everywhere, they're trying to get revival by adding worldly music, all the flashing lights. It's like going to a rock concert, amen. They try to add the games, the gimmicks. The more programs, the better, amen. And they try to get the congregation on fire for God, amen, for all them games and gimmicks. Problem is, the fire they're producing won't last. It's all in the flesh. God ain't nowhere around it. That fire's not real. Over there in Leviticus 10, 1 through 2, I'll read it real quick. Leviticus 10, 1 through 2. Y'all don't have to turn there if you don't want to. You can just listen. Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord." Boy, I see a lot of strange fire being offered these days. I see a lot of strange fire being offered these days for Christians. I've offered strange fire. We just told you what God thinks about strange fire. He sent his fire down from heaven and he took them out. He killed them. That's how he feels about it. Lord, help me. If you look over there in verse 21 of Daniel, I'm going to head back to Daniel real quick. Verse 21, it says, "And these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the fiery furnace." Why do you think they added all those layers of clothes? All his hats, his pants, hosen. You ever think about that? Why'd they add all that extra stuff? Did it matter? They're going in a fiery furnace seven times hotter. I don't see why it mattered. I think they added for the same reason they heated the furnace seven times hotter. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to see him burn hotter. So what'd he do? He started adding stuff. Started adding stuff. Well, I'll tell you what, that's kind of the same thing churches and Christians do today, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's kind of what we talked about. They add more and more stuff. More and more stuff. Well, we got to make them burn hotter. We got to make them burn hotter. We got to look like we're doing something for God. We got to look like we're doing something for God. Well, can I tell you? It's strange fire. A lot of stuff we do, we, including me, we, is strange fire to God. We might think it's good. And it might look good on the outside, kind of like that water spout I talked about earlier. It might look good after you give it a fresh coat of paint, but the water coming out is still not purified. We need to take a deep look into ourselves, me included. A deep look into ourselves and see, Lord, reveal some things to me. Refine some things in me. Give me revival. Because that strange fire, it ain't cutting it. You know, we can't work it up. We can work up some fire in our flesh, but it's just still just flesh. And it'll only burn for a short time, and it's going to go out. But I tell you what, a reviving fire from God, it'll stand the test of time. Because it's from God. It's not from us. But we're going to have to die to ourselves daily, as it says. You just have to keep fueling that fire, and you can have revival in your life. It's not too late. I hear a lot of people say, yeah, we live in Laodicean church age, you know, and all this, that, and the other. Well, I'm here to tell you, God's the same God back in Genesis as he is now. He hadn't changed. We've changed, amen. We can have the same relationship as every man and woman in this book right here if we want it. Do you want it? You know, my granddad, he loved trains. I don't know if any of y'all knew that. He had a whole room, whole bedroom. It was full of trains. The whole layout had little mountains the train tracks went through. And I'm talking about he had switches, a board this big. Little switches, the little tracks switched. I mean, they was that wide. He loved trains, but he really loved steam locomotives. He loved them. We would go around all Houston when I was a little kid chasing to try to see the steam locomotive. But I tell you what, for the engine of that steam locomotive to do what it's supposed to do, for that steam locomotive to operate to its full potential, to pull what it was supposed to do, the fire in that firebox had to be hot enough. The fire in that firebox had to, if it started to cool down, what happened? Lose power. The locomotive would start losing power, and eventually it stopped. It stopped doing what it was designed to do, which was burn hot and be able to tow the load, to be able to pull its own weight, to do what it's designed to do. That's why the engineer had that car right behind him and had to steadily add coal to that fire to keep the fire hot, to keep that engine running strong, to keep the locomotive running to its full potential. He had to keep feeding it, keep feeding it. Well, can I tell you that we're the engineer of our own life? You're your own engineer of your own life. And if you want revival, if you want to keep your motor running strong, you're going to have to get down on your knees and ask God to help you. If you want power in your life, if you want to live for God to your full potential, you're going to have a steady dose of the Word of God. Fueling that fire. Fueling that fire. You got fire when you got saved, amen. What have you done with it? Have you moved away from the fire, which is God? You want that fire. If you want that fire Jeremiah had that burns in your bones, if you'll just get down on your knees and pray. Like I said earlier, ask God to reveal some things. Reveal any wicked way you might have to refine you, to purify you, and get all that junk that's impure out of your life. He'll show you what it is. Chances are he doesn't have to show you. You know what it is. And then he'll revive your soul. And all you have to do is keep that fire going. Get a steady dose of the Word of God. Die to yourself daily. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. We all know that here that's a spirit of prayer. Boy, what a difference God can make. Nothing better than having that fire. You know how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to bow down or not bow down and face King Nebuchadnezzar in the fiery furnace? They had a relationship with God. If you're on fire for God, if you have a relationship with God, I'm talking about a real relationship with God, you're not going to need what we just talked about. You'll have it. Now, none of us here are going to be able to do that, if I'm being honest. As much as we want to, as much as we'd like to say we would, we're not. We fight this old flesh, each and every one of us, daily. It's tough. The world's wicked. It's tough. What we can do is seek him every day, and he'll help you. He'll help you. The closer you are to him, the easier it is to say no to your flesh. You know, I see them. Could you imagine being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and standing there? Everybody else bowed. There's a fiery furnace. Did they already throw somebody in there? I don't know. But here they are. Everybody else bowed. I probably would have bowed. I'm being honest. I probably would have bowed. I'd like to say I wouldn't. But here they are. What a testimony. What a testimony. It says, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not careful to answer. Because they had a relationship with God. So strong. So powerful. They had a fire burning in their bones. It didn't matter what everybody else was doing. It didn't matter what the world was doing. All they wanted to do was please their God. Lord, help me. That's all I want, is to please my God. Over there in chapter 2, verse 17, it says, and Daniel went to his house and made this thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. We know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would desire mercies of God in heaven concerning this secret, and that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men. We know this is Daniel trying to seek God, ask God for the dream and for the interpretation of the dream Nebuchadnezzar had that nobody else could answer, nobody else could tell him. What kind of companions do you have? You know how they were able to stand up and say no to the flesh, say no to the world, say no to King Nebuchadnezzar? I don't know how many times they got together, but they had a prayer meeting. That's what I see there. They had a prayer meeting, and they seeking God's face. Well, I think it's time that we get back to that. That we get back to seeking God and ask him to give us the strength to revive us. He will. You remember when you first got saved? I know you do. I hope you do. It's only been a day. In all seriousness, do you remember when you first got saved? Oh, the joy. Some of you don't look like you remember. But I'm serious. When I first got saved, I wanted to tell everybody. I had a fire burning in me. I wanted to be at church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival, camp meetings, whatever it was. I wanted there to be more church. I couldn't get enough. I couldn't get enough of telling people about God, tell them I got saved, tell them how God yanked me up out of the ditch, how he saved my soul. He reached down further than I could ever reach up, and he saved me. I couldn't help it. I had that fire burning. Y'all remember that?
Yeah, right.
How long did that last? Well, let this world take us further and further away from the fire. My prayer for each and every one of you, examine your life. Examine your heart. If you're not saved, well, he's the best thing that's ever happened to me. The best thing that's ever happened to me. And he's in the saving business. He didn't send his son to this earth to die for no reason. He died for you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He died for all, it says in the Bible. Are you saved? If not, today's the day. Now is the accepted time. Are you backslid? I know that's not a Bible word, but we use it anyway. Are you backslid? Have you grown cold on God? He's just a prayer away. He's just a prayer away. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, I sure do love you. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you will finish the message in every heart, Lord God. Lord, help us to draw closer to you, Lord God. I pray that you will just renew that fire that we once had. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, Brother Saul, later, let's go ahead and get your prayer. We'll get ready to sing a verse of invitation. You know, one of the things things there about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is that whenever he throwed them into the fiery furnace, it didn't even singe their hair. It killed those men throwing them in, but those men that they wanted to kill threw them in, and it didn't even singe their hair. It didn't even leave the smell of smoke on them. These were men that, buddy, I guarantee you, feared nothing but God. They'd already told the king, we know our God is able, but if he doesn't deliver us, be it known unto you, we will not bow to that king. And so it's good to be able to bow before the King of Kings. And we're going to sing what now?
Page number 123.
If you're able to stand, then let's stand together while we get ready to sing. You need to come. By all means, come and come quickly as we sing.